The phone on the nightstand buzzes and pulls Avi Hirsch up from a dream of being tossed in the air and falling. Tossed and falling. The arc his body makes in the dream becomes a loop. He flails awake. The dream is recurrent, felt in his body rather than his mind. A year out of the hospital, and he can't remember on waking where he is. Kay has lost patience with this morning thrash of limbs and makes it a point to be up and out of bed before him. Avi grabs at the phone as it skitters toward the edge of the nightstand.
I sent you something, says the voice on the other end. A weird one. Take a look.
The voice pauses, waits.
Good morning, Lewis, says Avi.
Lewis Hoffman is Avi's friend and occasional informant at Homeland Security. He works out of Homeland's Chicago office, but he and Avi have known each other since Lewis's days as an Army liaison. Lewis hasn't called since Avi got out of the hospital.
Look at it, Lewis says. Right on your phone. I'll wait. I'm in bed, says Avi,
rolling himself up to a seated position.
What happened to the news never sleeps? Lewis says.
That's not a saying, Avi says. Besides, I'm not. Put your eyes on it and call me immediately, says Lewis, and hangs up.
Avi sees the subject line on his home screen. Roseland/Ballston common bombings. His heart speeds up a little. That junky rush. He thinks about opening it right now, before anything else. But Kay has let him sleep in, which sets them all behind schedule. He puts the phone on the nightstand, face down. He picks up the sock from the floor and his prosthetic from its spot against the bed. The physical therapist says that over time, amputees start to think of their prosthesis as part of their bodies. It feels like a foreign object to Avi. It looks like a plunger capped with a plastic foot. A half-witted piece of sculpture. He goes through the ritual of attaching it to his left leg below the knee. The process is boring while requiring close attention. A bad fit becomes painful as the day wears on, unbearable by lunch. In the beginning, Kay tried to help. The angles were better. It was easier for her to perfect the fit. But Avi was so angry in those first days home from the hospital. He yelled, swatted her hands away. He apologized, and she assured him there was no need. It was important he accept his anger, understand it as justified. She knew that in time it would flow into the correct channel rather than spilling out at her like lava over its cooled levee. Eventually, she stopped offering to help with the prosthesis. She stopped offering help with stairs or getting into the minivan in case assistance implied that she thought he was helpless. She leaves him this moment every morning, alone with his leg. He hears the first click of the pin into the socket and eases his weight on it. There's the deeper click, the one that echoes up his thigh, the one he can feel in his teeth. He rolls the leg of his sweatpants back down and examines his feet. The foot of the prosthesis is a shiny plastic foam, its color chosen to match Avi's skin tone. It's too pink, like cartoon flesh. The toes have toenails carved into them. He wonders if customers demanded this detail from the manufacturer, or if the designers came up with it themselves. A little attempt at normality that makes the thing even stranger.